to preach. I believe what the Lord, I feel like God wants me to preach tonight. And I appreciate these men filling in while I was gone, Brother Gray and Brother Bell. And appreciate them doing a good job for us while we're away. All right, if you'll turn in your Bibles tonight to the book of 1 John. 1 John. We've been trying to preach some through that book, Little John, all the way in the back of the Bible, right before Jude. And 1 John and chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2 in the Word of God, okay? And I want to begin reading in verse number 3 of 1 John and chapter number 2. Bible said in verse 3, "And hereby we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Well, I'll tell you, people think that Brother Hall's a rough preacher. John sounds pretty rough to me. Sounds pretty strict there to me. And he said, "But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." Now may the Lord add His blessing to that reading of Scripture. Let's pray, and we'll try to bring the simple little old thought and message God's laid on my heart for tonight. Our Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful that I can be back in the house of God. What a joy and a blessing it is to be able to fellowship with God's people in the Word of God. What a blessing it is to be in your house with your divine presence. I pray for your power. I pray tonight, Lord, for liberty to preach. I pray for the conversion of souls and a reviving spirit of God's people. I pray that you'll bless and help the brokenhearted, those that are grieved. I do pray especially for Elizabeth tonight and little Logan. You'd help them, bless them, bless others in the church that's sick, others that have special needs. We pray for them likewise. Give us good grace tonight and provide, Lord, the liberty that we need to preach and to make me a blessing. I cannot do a thing, Lord, without you. So I pray that you'll bless me, that I might be a blessing to your people. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Now, I want to call our attention tonight for just a little while to verse number 6 is where I'm going to be taking. I've been preaching down through this little book, and we've made our way down to, I believe, verse number 6 the last time that I preached. And John said there, "He that saith he abideth in him," notice now, "ought himself also to walk even as he walked." And so I want to preach for a little while tonight just on that simple thought of walking with Jesus. What a blessing it is to walk with the Lord. I've been walking with Him for a few years now, and I want to say tonight by way of testimony that I find no fault in Him. He's always been my faithful companion and always been there when I needed Him. He's always provided for me. He's always corrected me when I needed that, and He has been my faithful companion down through the years. And I tell you, I've walked side by side with a lot of men. I've rubbed shoulders with a lot of different individuals. But I'll tell you, I have never walked beside a greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought about, and it's not in my outline, but I want to mention it, I thought about those two men on the road to Emmaus as they walked and the Lord joined Himself to them. And they really was not aware that they were walking with the Lord. And they were discouraged because it was the third day. And they had believed the Lord was to get up out of the grave. They really didn't know it, but He had got up out of the grave and was walking alongside them on the way to Emmaus. And when they arrived at home, the Bible said that Jesus would have went on, but they compelled Him to turn in, so He turned in. And as He sat and began to break bread, their eyes were open. And they said one to another, as Jesus vanished out of their sight, "Did not our hearts burn within us as He opened up the Scriptures to us along the way?" Now I want to say to you tonight that our hearts ought to burn with the love of God. Amen.
as we walk with Him through this life. I'll tell you, it is a marvel of the grace of God that the great God of heaven would send His only Son into the world, not only to die for sinful man, but to come back. He said, if I go away, I'll come again. But to come back in the person of the Holy Spirit and to walk with you and I each and every day of our life. That's a blessing. You're never alone. We sang that old song, never alone, no, never alone. That is an absolute fact. We are never alone. Thank God there has been one that's called alongside to help us, to comfort us. Thank God for the comforting grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in the person of the Holy Ghost as He walks with us through this everyday life that we're living in. Now, let me say by way of introduction that down through these verses, if you'll call to you, I'll call to your memory, that John is setting a contrast between the believer and the unbeliever. Or we could say that he is testing our profession. And there's nothing wrong with that. Do you know why people don't want preaching today? They don't want anybody to challenge them in their profession of faith. They want to get settled in on their lees, and they don't want anybody to challenge them in their profession of faith. But you know, Paul said that we ought to examine ourselves and make sure that we're in the faith. And I'll tell you, I wouldn't want somebody to sit on the pew of Island Ford Baptist Church while I'm preaching to them and preach for them for a number of years and then die and wind up in hell. I want to preach in such a way that it will turn your thoughts inward and make sure that Christ abides in your heart. That He is living there in your heart by faith. Hallelujah to God. And so John here is doing a marvelous job on testing the profession. You know, there's a lot of people that's made false professions. There's a lot of people that's made a profession to get mom and daddy off of them. There's a lot of people that's made a little profession of faith to get what they want in the media in that particular time in their life. And I'm telling you, all it is an empty profession that will never carry them to heaven. They will wind up in a Christless eternity, in a devil's hell, without God and without hope. Oh, they may get what they want then and now and then in this life, but I'm going to tell you, they will not have anything in the life to come to look forward to but a lake of fire and a pit of hell and a crowd down there that is made up of unbelievers and whoremongers and adulterers and fornicators and murderers and all that devilish crowd that's going to die and wind up in hell. That's right. Now, first of all, John shows us how that we may know that we know Him. That's one of the tests that He's putting here. He said, "Hereby we do know that we know Him." And so, if we're saved, He not only knows us, but we know Him. And this is demonstrated by you and I keeping His commandments. That's what the Bible said there. Hereby do we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. No man has a right to lay claims on Christ that does not keep His commandments. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm not just talking about the Ten Commandments. I'm talking about walking in obedience to the entire revealed Word of God in your life. Amen. We know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. And then secondly here, he's writing that we may be assured that we are in Him. And this involves our subjection to Him and includes the keeping of His Word. You know, a rebel doesn't have any right to claim Christ. A lot of people say they're saved outwardly, but with their lips, but their life proves that they're rebels and renegades. It's just exactly like the Pharisees were. The Lord told them, He said, "You worship Me with your lips, but your heart is far from Me." And God is not looking for our lip service. God is looking for life service. God is looking for a heart service. God is looking for somebody that will love Him with their heart, mind, body, and soul, and will serve Him in a fervent manner with all of their heart and all of their soul, and will have zeal in their life for the glory of God. And the only way you can do that is by keeping His Word. Amen. If you love me, keep my words. Keep my commandments. And then I want to say that this involves our subjection to Him and includes keeping His word. And then the third is found here in our text, abiding in Him and walking as He walked. And this is accomplished by our being rooted and grounded in Him. I'll say some more about that in a little while. But we're not going to walk long with the Lord without being rooted and grounded in the truth. We're not going to walk long with the Lord without being rooted and grounded in love. What do you think would happen to one of these trees out here if it tried to grow on top of the ground? I'm going to tell you, the wind, the first little puff of wind, it's going to be toppled. You know why? No roots below the soil. Now I'm telling you, as a child of God, our roots are to be in Christ. I believe I can put it this way. Thank God we have an anchor that is behind the veil. We are anchored, ladies and gentlemen, behind the veil. And every now and then, believe it or not, I feel a tug from up yonder, a pulling on my heart, a pulling me in that direction. I don't know for you, I can speak for myself, but praise God, I'm glad my tent stakes are not down very deep in this world. Thank God I'm ready to go home and to be with the Lord. And to be honest, Paul said, for me to depart and to be with Him is far, far greater. Amen. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Gain. You might say, how can you gain but die? Because you're living. That's why. Amen. That's right. He's a resurrection and a life. Though a man that were dead, if he believes in Him, he'll never die. He said, believest thou this? Thank God, I'm glad I've got life in Him. Amen. And so we've got to be rooted and grounded in Him. Notice what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. He said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. You want to be filled with all the fullness of God? Boy, I've preached a lot on that lately, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with all the goodness of God. There's only one way you're going to be able to accomplish that. And that is to, have an understanding of God's love for you. I'm telling you, Baptists are the hard-headedest people. I include preachers like myself. But we're the hard-headedest people that I've ever met in my life. It seems like we're difficult to convince about the fact that God Almighty loves you. He just loves you because He loves you. Hey, and I'm going to tell you, if you'll ever comprehend the length and the height and the depth of God's love, you'll learn something that you'll come to an understanding that passeth all knowledge unto you. Is what the Bible said. Yes, amen. That's right. Hallelujah. That verse of Scripture that I just read tells me that understanding His love is one way we can get knowledge out of that book. If you never understand God's love for you, you're never going to understand much out of that Bible. It's a spiritual book. And it's not discerned by the natural man. It's discerned by a spiritual man, a spiritual-minded man, a spiritual... Amen, that's right. And I'm going to tell you, if you ever comprehend His love for you, He'll give you a knowledge, ladies and gentlemen, that will pass all understanding about that book. Praise God, I got to hurry up. I'll get bogged down here. Now, the phrase, walk even as He walked, I just read that to you. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk even as He walked. That phrase, even as He walked, is not a note of equality. Walking as He walked does not mean that we're equal with the Lord. He's God. And beside Him there is none else. And we're men. And we're men. And He's not talking about equality. He's not talking about us walking with Him in equality, but of likeness. That is, we walk like He walked while He was here on the earth. We walk in His likeness. Somebody said, how are we going to do that? Well, we can, because the Bible said that we're conformed to the image of Christ. And if we're conformed to His likeness, we can surely walk as He walked while He was on this earth. He lived for 33 and a half years and walked the shores of Galilee. Now, I'm not saying that He was healed like He healed and raised the dead. I'm not Oral Roberts. I'm not Oral Son. Heard on news the other day where they're about ready to put Oral Son in prison for embezzlement, but that's neither here nor there. But at any rate, it's not talking about equality. It's talking about likeness. And walking like He walked in love. In fact, He is light, the Bible said. And we're to walk as children of light. Amen. That's what the book said in Ephesians 5:8. Walk as children of light. Man, I'm telling you, I heard Lulu today on our new program. It just about throwed me for a loop. Now, I'm not politicking now, but I won't say this because it falls in with what I'm saying. The IRN Network was having their program today. And they're for Fred Thompson for president. Well, it might be all right. I don't know. But my man's Mike Huckabee. Don't make any apologies for it. He's an ex-Baptist preacher, governor for 10 years. I believe he's got the credentials. The only thing he don't have is the money. But some fella called in and said, hey, you all are pushing and talking about Mitt Romney today and talking about Mitt Romney this and Mitt Romney that. He said, why don't you ever talk about Mike Huckabee? He said, if you want to talk about a conservative Republican, Mike Huckabee is your man. Said he's an ex-Baptist preacher. Said he stands for all the social values that we have. He's against abortion. He's against same-sex marriage. He stands where we stand. And he is the conservative candidate. And that crowd said, oh, wait a minute. Said, I disagree with you on that. And the man said, you would? And he said, oh, yes. And the fellow on our end said, in fact, said, Fred Thompson is the conservative Christian. And this guy said, Thompson, a conservative Christian, said, you going to tell me a Hollywood movie star is a conservative Christian? Said he's married to a woman 23 years younger than him? And he's a Hollywood star? And that guy said, whoa, buddy, whoa. Said, you don't understand. Said, we're the salt of the earth. And said, salt, in order to keep back putrefaction, it's got to come in contact with that which it's preserving. But he didn't say in the Bible that we're the salt of mankind. He said we're the salt of the earth. Amen. We're what adds flavor to this world that we're living in. And that guy had the idea to think that him being out in Hollywood, being an actor, seeing naked women dance on stage, running to all this, that, and all that stuff, getting drunk, cussing, amen, come on in the house, that he is a Christian, give me a break. Christ said, I'm the light of the world. But he turned right around and said, ye are the light of the world. And if he walked in light, then you and I also ought to walk in light. Hallelujah. And be light for the glory and honor of God. Amen. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. Hallelujah. And by the way, a house that's set on a hill or a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Men don't light a candle and put it under a bushel basket either. They set it on a candlestick, and the candlestick's the top of the church. They set it on a candlestick so that all that come in the house can get some light. Let me ask you something. How much light did we bring to church with us tonight? How much light did you and I bring to the house of God that others in here may see your light and glorify God? That's the whole question right there. God wants us to bring light to one another. In the house of God, we're the light of the world. Amen. We're a candle set on a candlestick. We're God's children. Give light in the house of God while you have some light. You know what these folks that testified were doing? Trying to give a little light. Right. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm going to say secondly, He is love. Is that right? The Bible said in Ephesians 5:1 and 2 that we're to walk in love. But we're not to be hate mongers. Now, I'm not talking about I'm not talking about compromising. But I'm learning that do you think that Jesus, do you think that Jesus, loves fornication, adultery, drunkenness. No, he don't. He does not love the sin. But I'm here to tell you, he does love the sinner. And our problem today is we've never learned to separate the sin from the sinner. Preacher gets up and preaches on somebody's sin, they get madder than a wet hornet. You know why? They say, he don't love me. Oh, it's not you he don't love. It's the sin you're involved in he don't love. Now, I'm here to tell you, if sin doesn't sour in your mouth, you may not have the goods, friend. Sin's a sour taste in my mouth. My Lord, I went online the other night to Fox News. I like to see what's kind of on there in the political field. I'm trying to pray for people and trying to want to vote right and this and that. And on their little things they have, you can had on there a beauty contest with transvestites. I thought, God have mercy, you've got to be kidding me. A bunch of men probably promenading around in bikinis and call themselves a woman? How would you like to walk in down over one of the Walmart stores and walk up to the counter and say, ma'am, can you help me? And they say, I believe I can. See you later, Jack. That ought to sour our stomach. And I'm satisfied with this. And I don't think I'm being cruel when I say this. Sodomites that go that far, according to Romans 1, God has turned them over to a reprobate mind. You never convince me that a man that's made a woman out of himself is going to heaven. Nobody. You might believe that, but I don't, and I never will believe it. That's sin. It's a sin. And I'm here to tell you, that mess is here to stay, because as it was in the days of Noah, and friend, it's coming. As it was in the days of Lot, I'm telling you, it's coming. We better buckle her in. Now, he is righteous, so we must walk in passive righteousness, Psalm 23:3. He is righteous. Now, stay right with me. I've got three more things as introduction. I'll just got a little tiny three-point outline, I'll be done. Our walk is one of faith. The just shall live by faith. But Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith. Our walk is by faith. God's not going to let you see everything He's doing. He'll give you a promise from this Bible. And you're going to have to respond to that promise and act toward that promise and walk on that promise and believe that promise and walk with Him by faith in that promise. I could give you a lot of them. I'm here by promise. I'm here by faith. When He said, turn ye eastward, almost 20 years ago from Tucson, Arizona, I turned and I'm still here. I'm talking about walking by faith. Now, let me illustrate it. Peter and Andrew, Matthew 4:18-20. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. You know what the Bible said? And they immediately followed him. Why? How? By faith. All it took was, follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. I wonder if we're following Him by faith today. Are we walking with Him by faith? Has He called us to walk with Him by faith? Hallelujah. I read Brother Doug's prayer letter a while ago, and he had a picture of his granddaughter and grandson on there, but he didn't say a thing about them in the prayer letter. Must have missed it. But I'll tell you what he did say. He did say they made a trip to Canada. And it just deepened his desire to get on his mission field. I'm talking about our walk is a walk of faith. You've got to believe God for something, folks. It may not be a mission field. But believe God for your families. I'm telling you, we're living in our, if we can just get our families on the ark, we'll do good. Yes. Somebody said, oh, mine's rebellious. So were you before you got saved. Right. Somebody said, oh, my family, they're all sinners. So were you before you got saved. Amen. Somebody said, you don't understand. They're all drunks. Probably most of you were before you got saved. Come on now. I'm talking about walking by faith. Believe in God for something. Do we believe God can send revival? Will thou not revive us again? Thy people may rejoice in thee. Do we really believe that? Somebody said, oh, it's in the Bible, so I believe it. But do we really, are we really walking by faith and believing God that He can send that revival? Brother Frankie Brown, I called him Brother Frankie last night. And I said, of course, he's got a passel of kids. I don't know how 12 or 13. I mean, he's got a whole handful of them. And I said, Brother Frankie, boy, I said, did anybody tell you, write you anything? Tell you that me and Miss Hall are great grandparents? He said, no. He said, you mean that little boy is here? That baby's here? I said, baby's here. He said, what was it, girl or boy? I said, a little boy, 4 pounds, 4 ounces. And he said, is the baby all right? I said, he's in an incubator, but I said, he's doing fine. I said, he wasn't born a down baby at all, Brother Frankie. He said, hallelujah. And I thought, well, what is he talking about? He said, our church has been praying for that boy. And he said, most of the time when people pray for God to do something, they don't really believe God's going to do something. But he said, I've been telling them all along that that baby is going to be born healthy and all right.
Heavenly.
And he said, you wait until Wednesday night rolls around and I tell them that little rascal is in the world and is healthy and all right.
Heavenly.
Amen. You believe God when you pray?
Amen.
For whatsoever things you pray, believe it.
Yes.
Whatsoever things you pray, believe it. They shall be done unto you.
Amen, preacher.
Friend, I'm talking about our walk is a walk by faith. You know what happened in the very next verse with Andrew and Simon and Andrew? The Bible said in the next verse, going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending nets, and he called them, and they immediately left ship and their father and followed him. Immediately. They didn't even look back. They just begin to walk by faith. Now, I'm not saying God's called all of you to be in full-time Christian service. Don't misunderstand me. But I am saying that Sunday morning or Sunday night when you got saved, Christ said, follow me. And brother, where He leads us, as the song says, we ought to follow.
Yes,
and whether you're a preacher, or whether you're a Sunday school teacher, or whether you're a singer, or whether you just sat on a pew, saved by the grace of God, you ought to be following Him by faith.
Amen.
Whatever He calls you to do, He may not call you to go to a foreign field. He may not even call you to preach. He may not even call you to teach. But He calls us all to worship. Oh yeah, and He calls us all to give Him praise and glory. He calls us all to honor Him in our Christian life. He calls us all to a separated life. He calls us all to a dedicated life. God, help us to dress like men and women and have character of men and women that God can use, ladies and gentlemen. I see so many people don't have an ounce of character. Their word doesn't mean a flipping thing, buddy. They talk out of both corners of their mouth. Amen. Say amen right there. And there's very little character in Baptists today. Amen.
That's right.
That's right. I know preachers, I wouldn't trust any for them. I'd throw a bull by the tail. I could tell you one wanted to see a pocket knife I had several years ago and I showed it to him. And before I left that place 5 days later, I had to go to him and tell him, now I want my knife back. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
I'm talking about character. Why do you think the banks make you sign your life away to borrow $50 for? No character.
That's right.
When God called me to go to Greenville, South Carolina, Brother Bill Nolan walked up on the platform and then he got done preaching that morning. He said, before he preached, he said, folks, pray for Brother Hall and Brenda. said, unless God works a miracle, said, they're not going to be able to go to Bible college. And right there, that's my wife. She can testify of the fact that I'm telling you the truth. Ron Montgomery was a deacon there. He was also the president of New Washington State Bank in Henryville, Indiana. And he, hey, when the service is over, he walked just as straight to me as he could walk. And Ron talked, kind of, he'd do like that. And he said, Gary, how much money do you need? He knew it was money. I said, I need $1,300, Brother Ron. He said, be in the office in the morning, 9 o'clock, have the check waiting on you. Character. Character, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, God, help us. God wants us to follow Him with some character in our heart that distinguishes us from other people. We're not like other people. We're a peculiar people. I asked Brother Leroy the other night, I said, Brother Leroy Kingery. He said, that's right. I said, might be Leroy the king. He said, no, I'm not a king. I said, Brother Leroy, watch yourself. The Lord done said He's made us kings and priests under God our Father. I said, oh yeah, we're king. Don't you think that a king ought to have some character about him? It is not, hey, it's not becoming of kings, O kingdom mule, to put wine to their mouth. What he's saying there in the book of Proverbs is that kings ought to have some character about them. Oh, I'm about to preach a little while. And praise God, if we're kings and priests unto God, we ought to have character in following our Lord. Amen. Be distinct from other people. Different from other people. Amen. Hallelujah. And then we ought to, our walk is one of obedience. 1 Samuel 15:22. Well, I got a verse here in our text for it, if I can find it. I'll find it in a minute, maybe. 1 Samuel 15:22, to obey is better than sacrifice. You know the story about Saul. Now that he did not obey God, he kept the best of the lambs for sacrifice, and the rams for sacrifice, even spared Agag. And old Samuel had to take a sword and cut him to pieces. But he said in the word of God, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken in the fat of rams. Get this now. Christ's obedience was the absolute conformity of His entire body, soul, and spirit under the will of His Father. He was ready and cheerful. His ready and cheerful performance of every duty which God had appointed Him. I wonder if we're that obedient. That we're ready to everything God appoints us, that we're ready to do it with cheerful obedience. Huh? Now I can show you that here. He in verse 4, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, that's obey. You can't keep his commandments without obeying them.
That's right.
Impossibility. Amen. That's right. Amen. I wonder how many of us in here tonight follow him in everything that He calls us to do.
Amen.
In cheerful obedience.
Preach.
Even giving.
Right.
You say we're going to take up an offering, most Baptists sit down on their billfold. Women put their purse up under the pew. Some of them leave them out in the car, won't bring them in. But God loveth a cheerful giver. That's in the Bible. We can like that or not. It's in the book. Somebody said, well, God ain't never told me to give anything. Come on now. I didn't fall off a load of pumpkins out there in the parking lot on my head. You ready to give that? You ready to obey? What if God called some of you all in here to the mission field? You ready to go? What if God told some of you to go out here and do a little witness, and you ready to do it? What if God told you to go up here and knock on your cousin's door, your uncle's door, your aunt's door?
Right.
What if God told you to go tell a friend about Christ? Are you ready to do it? What if God told you to, instead of wanting a Sunday school class, to build one yourself? Old-timers used to do that. They'd go to the preacher and say, I want a Sunday school class. And he'd say, there's the whole community. Go build one.
Right.
What if God told you to do that? What if God told some of you to get back up here and sing in the choir? What if God told some of our people to give up the job they got and find another job so they could be in church? Don't tell me that we're following God If we don't even believe that God can give us a job where we can be in the house of God, I don't believe it. Amen. I said, you're mean. I ain't got halfway there yet. He said in John 6:38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. In the wilderness temptation, while being assaulted by the enemy, Satan himself, our Lord refused to disobey his Father, and his response consistently was, it is written. Every time.
Amen.
It's written. I wonder if that'd be our response. The devil dangled a little temptation out in front of us.
Right.
I wonder if we'd say, it is written. God help us tonight. My text says, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Now, I didn't say that. God did. That's God's book. Now, our walk is one of hope. I'm talking about a sure expectation of desired good. You really, how many folks in here do you know tonight's really got real hope? I walked in a business today. And there's a fellow sitting over there. I said, man, what is wrong with you? He said, oh, just some bad deals happening in my life. And I thought, great Scott, man. It must be some bad deals for you to be sitting there like that. I felt plumb sorry for the man. He had no expectation of good at all. But I'm going to tell you what bothers me more than that. Our Baptist folk, church folk, saved folk, redeemed people, blood-bought, sanctified, Holy Ghost, supposedly filled people that will come to the church, and they absolutely have no expectation of God doing nothing for them.
Right.
Well, we ought to live with expectation of what Christ can do. I mean, just like, we're not on here, just like Sister Gossett and Brother Gossett. I went to her Sunday morning, I believe it was, and I told her, I said, don't give up on this thing. I said, buddy, that crowd down there they'll turn you down the first time, every time. And most of the time, you got to get a lawyer to get out of them what's coming to you. And I said, don't get down in the mouth and get discouraged. Trust God and expect Him to do something for you.
Man.
Amen. If I hadn't had some hope, folks, I'd have pulled a Hank Snow around here a long time ago. You know what Hank Snow is, don't you? Moving on.
Man.
I had a little bit of hope. And I still got hope.
Amen.
I've not lost my hope. There's nothing any more distressing than someone that's living without hope.
Amen.
Like an eagle in moping period. They're just sauntering around on the ground with no hope in their heart at all of God doing anything to help them.
Amen.
God can. He can help you.
Amen.
Listen carefully. Hope is that spiritual grace that enables us to look away from the perishing things of time and sense. Above the shows and the shams of the world, unto the enduring realities of heaven and eternity. That's hope. If you can get your eyes off of what's going on right now and set your affection on things above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. That's where our mind... We have been raised together with Him. And we've been made to sit together with Him in heavenly places. I've got news for you. In the mind of God, we're already there.
Yes, sir.
We're glorified. Read Romans 8. He'll tell you. We're glorified.
Right.
Hallelujah. We're already in the mind of God sitting there. If we're truly saved, we can't miss it.
Great.
So why get the mully grubs and down in the mouth?
Right.
Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your heart and sing. Eternal hallelujahs. Amen. Because Christ our Lord is coming again. Amen. Amen to God. Now,
A proper hope requires unbroken, even an unclouded fellowship with Him. I said unbroken fellowship and even an unclouded fellowship. How many times has our fellowship that we've had with Him, we've let sin enter our life and that we've lost fellowship? But I'm going to tell you, it oughtn't even be unclouded. It ought to be unclouded, much less unbroken. It oughtn't be a cloud between us and Him at all.
Amen.
Bless His wonderful name. Hallelujah. Unclouded and unbroken. Walking with Him, that's what that's talking about. You can't walk with Him every other day. You can't walk with Him once a month or twice a year. You've got to walk with Him day by day.
Yes, sir.
Unbroken fellowship. Now listen carefully. And I'm just about done. Our walk then is one of progress. Listen carefully. To stand still is not walking. Folks, I'm not walking right now. I'm standing still. I cannot get to the back door by standing on this platform. I've got to walk in that direction. You understand what I'm saying? Walking is making progress. That's right. It's not standing still. There is no such thing as a stationary, as being stationary in the Christian life. We'll either go forward by the strength of grace or we'll go backward by the power of corruption. And Brother Paul said, I press toward the mark, the high prize of the calling of God in Christ Jesus. He said, this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind me. And I'm all the time reaching for those things which are before me. That's walking. That's walking forward. Forgetting what's back there. Too many Baptists want to hang on back there and they look back where they're like the Hebrews out of Egypt. They want to keep looking back and moving to the Canaan land at the same time. But like I said a few weeks ago, they moved from one captivity to another. God wanted them in Canaan. They was looking toward Egypt and headed to Assyria. And all the time. Then there's a pattern. There's not only to walk is one of progress, but our walk is one of a pattern. It's not a lopsided, twist, flippy, floppy thing. There ought to be a pattern in our walk. How many of you have ever seen a dog chasing a tail? We might say he's walking, but he's not walking, making any progress.
Right.
He's going around and around and around in circles. You know anybody like that? That just can't seem to get on track? Can't seem to get on the right path? Can't seem to get on the right course? They're just like a dog chasing the tail. Walking with Him, we ought to walk also even as He walked, is not chasing us like a dog chasing his tail.
Right.
It's walking in a straight course.
Yes, sir.
Headed for a particular place. Following a particular person. Amen. It's like that old farmer plowing. I've told you this 1,000 times. Old Joe Cousy told me, my cousin, put me on that little Ford tractor, and he said, now I'm going to let you plow this field. He said, the first thing I'll do is lay off a furrow. And he said, you better pick out a point down at the other end of that field when you drop that plow on the ground. Don't you take your eye off of that point. And that first loop down through there, I looked around a little bit, and when I got down there and looked back, that row was like this. I got back up to the other end, and old Joe was just laughing. He said, well, I've always heard you get more corn in a crooked row than you can a straight one, so maybe we'll be all right after all. But you, hey, you better have your eyes set on the other end of the field, folks. This ain't going to get the job. You'll get nowhere. You can do that for eternity and get nowhere. You get nowhere with Christ. You'll never grow in grace. You'll never grow in knowledge. You'll never have wisdom. Just chasing the proverbial dog tail.
Right.
Listen carefully now. I'm about done. We'll be here in a little while. We're not running in circles. Neither are we leaping. Have you ever considered that when we're walking, one foot is always on the floor, on the ground. One foot is always stationary
while the other foot is moving. And I'm getting to something, so just stay right with me. Let's see where I put it. While walking, one foot is always stationary, but in leaping, both feet are off the ground at the same time. I'm going somewhere if you just hang right with me. Walking properly denotes maturity. God told Abraham in 17:1, said, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I want to say, fourthly, that walking is not crawling. You know what Baptists are that crawl all the time? Babies. When they grow up, they begin to walk. Babies crawl. I remember every one of these kids in here. When they were little, every one of them crawled. And I bet you a dollar that you adults done the same thing. I don't know anybody that was born walking on both legs, do you? Crawled. But they learned to walk. We got to learn to walk with Him. Now, and I'm going to come back here in just a minute. But we walk, in our walk is one of progress, it's one of pattern, and it's one of permanency. Here's where I want to make the final point. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Steadfast? How can you walk and be steadfast? I'm steadfast. But he turned right around and said, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the Lord. One foot in front of the other. One steadfast, while the other one is abounding. That's the only way you can be steadfast. And that's the only way that you can abound in God and walk with God is keep one foot steadfast and the other one on the move at all times. Somebody say amen right there. Be steadfast and unmovable. On the other hand, is always abounding. Always abounding. The believer is to be active yet rooted. To walk and yet be stable. Now somebody said, preacher, can you illustrate that for us? I believe he can. And by the way, he didn't say run. He said walk.
Right.
Several years ago in our camp meeting, we saw a young man come up that aisle right there with a flag in his hand. He wasn't walking. He was running. And you know what happened to him? He got head heavy. And son, he slid. He must have slid 10 feet up this aisle. And Brother Jerome was right behind him, picked up that flag, jumped up and said, hey, man! And I said, God, it's on now for sure. But that guy wasn't walking. He was running. God didn't say, I want you to run with me. He didn't say, I want you to crawl with me. He didn't say, I want you to go around in circles with me. I want you to walk even as I also walk.
Amen.
How about tonight? You walking with Him? Or have you come to a standstill? Or are you backpedaling? Has corruption crept in and got you slipping back? If you're going to walk, you got to keep good traction. They told us in Vietnam, more than one time, the only way you'll make it, keep putting one foot in front of the other. And I've never forgotten that night I left with that little box of candy Mama gave me. And that captain then told me if I lost it along the way, it's over for my hide, buddy. And we're going on that night ambush, and I'd carried it as far as I could. And I said, Lord, I don't believe I can put one foot in front of the other. And I said, nobody will know it. And I just set it down on the ground. Got to that ambush site, and we all set up. And the next morning, one of them old boys walked up to me and said, hey, Hawk, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm trying to brew a little bit of coffee here. He said, how'd you like to have an old-baked cookie and an oatmeal cookie? I said, I'll get out of here, man. I said, don't be be talking like that. You know, I had to leave them things sitting back there along the trail. And you know, Fessmeyer said what he'd do to me. He said, "Oh, sir, would you like to have one?" I said, "You don't have any cookies." He went back a little bit, come up there, and he had that box. And I said, "Where'd you get that?" He said, "We picked it up back there along the trail." Said, "When you couldn't carry it any further," said, "the next guy behind you was in single file through that jungle, fast." He said, "That next guy just picked it up. When he couldn't go any further, he set it down. The next guy picked it up." And I'm going to tell you, you know how we can keep walking? You listen to me. When one of us gets tired, one of our friends, one of our companions, pick us up. Help. And when he gets tired, let somebody else pick us up. If they both get tired, let somebody else pick both of them up. I'm going to tell you, if we'll do right, can make it.
Yes,
we will make it. But it takes togetherness and help to make it. Let's stand together. I'm done. I'm going to have an invitation. You walking with Him tonight? You walking with faith? Are you walking in obedience? You walking in hope? Are you here tonight and you're lost? God loves you. God loves you. Here tonight and discouraged and need a little reviving in your heart? God's able to do that too.